Welcome to A Sex Worker's Guide to the Galaxy, where the answer to life, the universe, and everything is sex workers. I'm your host, Parker Westwood, and today we get to talk with Deandra, who is a sex worker based here in Detroit, and she's using a pseudonym, so her name is not actually Deandra, and there will be no links for her information, website, and all of that in the show notes. So Deandra and I talked before we did this episode, and we decided to do a pseudonym so that we could talk about being HIV positive, which is something in the sex work community and in the greater community that is not easy to talk about. So we addressed that, the stigma and all of it, within the episode, but I thought I would just let you know why I'm not linking anything to Deandra. It's not because I don't like her. It's because we are keeping her identity safe for the purposes of this conversation. I knew at some point in the lifetime of this podcast that we would be talking about a topic sensitive enough that people wouldn't want to use their work name and definitely not their real name. And so a pseudonym is just an important way to keep people safe. And in this case, we're keeping Deandra safe. So we do talk about being HIV positive. We also get to talk about drag and the manufactured scarcity in our society and how financial insecurity plays into being a sex worker and the fuck it attitude that it takes to kind of break free from that. There's a lot in here. There are a few trigger warnings for this episode. We talk about dead bodies in a graphic sort of way at some point. Don't worry, we're just talking about mortuary sciences for some reason, but that does come up. there are also stories about being misgendered, as Deandra is trans, and she shares some experiences about being misgendered in detail, so just know that that's in the episode. And I think that's largely it. Feel free to email me and let me know if it's not. I like to make sure that I am putting proper trigger warnings on these episodes. The email for the podcast is sexygalaxypod@gmail.com. Other ways you can get in touch, interact, and support the podcast are on Twitter @sexygalaxypod. We do not have an Instagram as of yet, but we are on Patreon at patreon.com/sexygalaxypod. We're starting to create some patron-only content, and it's been really fun. I'm so grateful for everyone who is supporting in whatever way that they can. And if you are unable to support, I totally get it. I'm just glad you're listening. Okay, without further ado, let's get to Deandra. All right, Deandra, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be here. In my own house, looking at you.
I know, it's so good to see your face. So
for the audience that doesn't know, I'm fucking stunning.
Absolutely gorgeous. Yes. Let's be clear about one thing.
Let's be absolutely crystal.
Okay, why don't you take a moment to introduce yourself, name, pronouns, where you're located, and what kind of work you do.
All right. Well, I'm just so everybody knows, I'm going under a pseudonym for this interview. It's Deandra, for security purposes, but that's, you know, if you're out there and you figure out who I am, I don't really give a fuck. It's fine. But anyway, it's Deandra and she, her. I'm 30 years old. I am based in Detroit, but I do travel quite a bit, especially, you know, when the world isn't ending due to viral plague. Yeah. And I do online sex work. I do phone sex work. I do full service sex work. I'm basically either showing a dick, looking at a dick, sucking a dick. All the avenues by which me and dick can meet digitally and physically to get the cash monies is what I do.
That's a beautiful way to put that.
Yeah. You know, there's always another dick.
There's always another dick. So how did you get started in sex work? What's your origin story?
Well, okay. I left home very, very early in my life. I left home at age 15. And I would say 16 is when I started doing sex work. I just, you know, I knew that there was older men that found me attractive and they would give me things I needed to survive. And then I didn't really realize that that was sex work because I was, you know, a kid. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as I got older, I still went to, like, it's not a sob story. Like, I went to college and stuff, and I didn't leave my childhood house in an acrimonious way. There was way too many people in my fucking house. Mm-hmm. It was miserable. I loved my mom and, you know, my stepdad, and my siblings are cool in, like, small doses, but I was just ready to be out of there. Mm-hmm. You know, especially, I guess, around 15, I had, like, three friends die right in a row, and all of them died in front of me at different, like, it just happened very quickly. And nobody in the house really had time to, like, help me through that or deal with it. And it was very, you know, trim. So I just left, and, like, it took my mom 3 days to notice that's how many fucking people were in our house. She's like, where have you been? I'm like, I moved. She's like, I understand. It's fine. She's wow. like, you know, so she's like, well, your sister said she'll pay for your track phone to keep it on so we can always know where you are. She's like, and I need to know where you are at all times. I'm like, okay, that's, you know, that's chill. That's chill enough as it is. Yeah. So that was my origin story. And then when I got into hair school, I was working full time and going to hair school full time. And, you know, it was just a way to, like, it was just something on the side for money that I wasn't really, you know, like, professionally doing. Was mostly getting, you know, hookups off, like, paying hookups off, like, Adam for Adam. This is how long ago this was. Fucking Grindr didn't even exist yet.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I think around 22, I just actually started putting up ads and doing it as basically my full-time side gig. Because I usually always have a, like, a civ job, but for the last 5 years, I have not. I've been strictly sex working full time. So
yeah, when you put up ads, was it sort of an internal reckoning of, like, oh, this is what I'm doing, like, I am an escort, or were you pretty much aware of that at that point?
Oh, I knew what I was.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew I was an escort. I just, when I started putting up ads, it was really just because before I found out about Backpage and the places you could post, mm-hmm. I just didn't know where to post myself or do that or whatever. And back then, this was kind of, you know, this was so far back in time, you know, like 2008, 2009, the internet was still kind of the Wild West in terms of sex work. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of camming going on. There were very few sites and you could kind of get away with whatever on the apps, especially, you know, but of course, that is no longer the lay of the land. And then I found out about Backpage and, you know, Rentmen and all that. Because I didn't start to transition until I was 25. So I was working as a male prostitute. Oh, and funny story about that. When I was 23, I was living in Nashville and I used to do a lot of extra work, you know, on, like, TV shows and stuff like that. It was just kind of something to do. And I actually was an extra in Robin Williams' last movie, Boulevard, as a male streetwalker, and I was like, yes, I'm a method actor.
Oh, that's yeah. So wild. Where were you living when you did that film?
Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been bouncing around the South. I'm kind of back in the North only very in, like, the last year or so. Mm-hmm. So even though people say Michigan's the Midwest, but I'm like, fucking Detroit is a Rust Belt city. It is the Northeast. You know, it's if it was fucking Kalamazoo, I would say that is, right, you know, Midwestern.
Yeah, it does have some Midwestern attributes for sure. But it is a Rust Belt city. What? Let's do a day in the life of. What
a day in the life.
A day in the life of Deandra. What is a day in the life?
In the life of Deandra. Yes. I wake up and bare-breasted nymphs feed me grapes off a silver.
Deandra can be whoever the fuck we want her to be.
right. I mean, I don't know. Like, I my life is very simple. I wake up around 7 every morning. I let my dog out, feed him. open the curtains in my dining room and my front living room here, and just to let all the light in and, you know, whatever. And I have lots of plants growing, so I have to open the curtains because I hate blinds. I have such an aversion to blinds. I think they're the fucking ugliest thing that you can put on a window. Why? Like,
same,
why?
I'm not
you can have aged brocade lace, and instead you just want this like shit plastic slat that's gonna break
every
because they always do. So yeah, I don't know. If you like blinds out there, fucking why? So I do that, you know, water my plants, and then usually go back to bed for a bit because I'm a late night girl. I'm up till like 4 or 5. I just, mm-hmm. I've always been that way. I don't know. It's like the sun goes down and all of a sudden I am fucking up and I'm ready to go. And I'll go back to sleep for a little bit, maybe till like 10 or 11. And then I wake up again. I make hot tea. I don't drink coffee anymore. So I just make hot, like English breakfast tea. And I drink that and like put on Star Trek and just like go through my phone and make, you know, either because I do like probably two home shoots a week in terms of like just photos, you know, sexy photos, lingerie for OnlyFans and Twitter. And I always like take a bunch of them and then I just post like two at a time. So I have like, you know, a week's worth. So I'll do that and then switch on my Eros available button and my Tryst available button. Not because I don't ever book right now, but you know, that at least will get them like knowing that I'm paying attention on my phone to book. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it boosts visibility for sure.
Yeah. And then I make a spirulina shake with lots of fruits and avocados and spinach and drink that down, have like two hard-boiled eggs with it, because right now I've been really working on toning my body and getting rid of this little like hormone pooch that I got going here, you know.
It happens.
It is, but you know, I all the effects of the hormones are great. I mean, like my fucking tits are, you know, they're big.
Yeah,
like for hormone titties, which by the way, for all of you out there, I am a transsexual. I didn't know if you knew that. It's pertinent information.
Yeah.
Deandra is the tranny. And I can say that because I am a tranny. So fuck y'all liberals if you try to come for me on that. I could say what the fuck I want about myself. Okay? Rule number one. All right. So that's like the morning. And then, you know, I'll usually pick a project around the house because, as you know, I'm remodeling a home that I bought. And, you know, it's right now the big project is tearing out all the old lathe and plaster, which is basically like moving hundreds of pounds of rock from inside the house. It fucking sucks. It's a lot of work, but so far I'm doing that. I'm also planning, you know, just what I want to do with the house step by step, stuff like that. That's what I do in a given day. If I have an appointment that day, then I don't work on the house. I don't want dust everywhere or whatever. If I have an appointment that day, then I'll clean after I've had my breakfast. I'll just clean the house, run the vacuum, you know. I mean, it's obviously like a work site in here, so it's not too clean, but it's just enough to where if they walk in, they're like, oh, this person isn't gonna like murder me and shove me into their wall if they behave.
Yes.
And you know, then I'll get ready and get pretty and, you know, try to pick out some kind of schmoozy lingerie that I probably don't even really like, but I know they'll like. And mm-hmm. you know, Once they come over, you know, I usually have, I don't work as much as I could. So I do probably 3 to 4 appointments a week. And I always have a cocktail before they get there. Cause I'm just need a little, you know,
puts you
need
in
a little,
yeah.
Right. Especially if they're new. Cause I don't know. I'm just like, I also like, I mean, it's so funny. I work as my clients are vastly majority are males or men mm-hmm. or male identified people. And in my private life, I could not be more of a fucking just dyke. Like I love femmes. I love queers. I really am not attracted to male identified people very much, very often. I will say though, the exception to that is probably trans men, but I don't know if that's just like a hormonal thing. Where it's like, I can just smell that fucking testosterone. And I'm like, hi. Hey, you're really cute. Stop it with your fucking pheromones. that's like the exception. I'm definitely more trans amorous. Like I tend to be romantically and physically attracted to other trans people mostly. So, you know, I love when guys hit me up and be like, oh, you know, I'm going to wife you. And I'm like, hey, man, fucking not. But if that's what gets you through, if that's part of your fantasy, yes, I will be, DeAndra will be your bride.
You can try. Yes.
Just as long as you leave when the session's over and I don't actually have a ring in my possession. And if I do, I'm going to hawk it.
Yes.
I've had clients give me nice things like that. Like I had a client give me a diamond tennis bracelet from his mother died and left him all this jewelry. So he gave me a diamond tennis bracelet and I was like, I'm going to be honest with you. This is overly generous. I'm not exactly comfortable taking it and I'm never going to wear it. And I ended up giving it away anyways. I'm not going to sell it. I don't want to sell it. I don't want to do that. It was given to me as a gift. And usually when it comes to things like that, that are gifts, I don't like to resell them unless they're really worth, you know, a lot of money. $400. I was like, that's fucking a blowjob. Like, I'm fine. Take it. You know, I'm not really a very wealth or money accumulation, like focused human being as it is. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is weird, but.
That's not that weird. One thing I've noticed about you is you tend to be very generous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to redistribute wealth, even though I have like less than almost anybody I know, but like at any one time, I don't have a lot of money, but, you know, I just think it's partly the responsibility of all white people, but specifically white sex workers to, you know, try to redistribute the resources a bit, you know?
Absolutely.
To more marginalized people. And some people, I guess, would say, oh, you know, you're already trans. You are a marginalized person. I'm like, yeah, but I kind of skating in on my whiteness. Like it's still something that affords me a lot of privilege and safety and things that, you know, other trans sex workers of color don't really have. So I like to give when I can, what I can, you know, and I probably redistribute about 20% or more overall of all the money that I take in from the world. So
yeah, and I think that's a good way to live. It's because our whiteness provides us with such privilege, and like being able-bodied and all these other things, right? So it's nice to keep that in mind and do our part. And I do know that you live doing your part. So I did want to ask you, for all of our listeners, why are you using a pseudonym today?
Oh, I'm using a pseudonym because I am HIV positive. And unfortunately, in our industry and just in general public knowledge, you know, people hear that and it's still got such a nasty stigma around it. I'm like, I'm undetectable. Like, you're probably safer with me than you are some rando on the street. I'm medicated. I get tested monthly, just per my line of work. I get tested monthly because, you know,
got to. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you know, I'm always protected and stuff and safe in sex work, but in my private life, girl, I get down and nasty with the best of them. And I don't really care. Like what anyone thinks about that. You know, some people said, oh, it's very socially irresponsible of you to have unprotected sex with somebody when you're positive. And I'm like, if I'm disclosing that with my partners, that's our decision. You don't really actually get an opinion on what two people decide to do with their autonomy, especially if we understand the science of it.
Right.
Like you think you getting raw dogged just because you're negative or not HIV positive is somehow any more morally or socially no, like it's an irresponsible act, but that's okay. You're allowed to have the sex that you want with the consent of your partners.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So,
and that's, I think there's a lot that people don't understand about the science around HIV. Especially things have advanced so far from our like HIV panic and like the actual epidemic of it in the 80s.
The current new treatments for COVID are actually derived and based from HIV medications, you know, and it's like, if, and it's kicking COVID's ass, like, you know, it's like, it's really saving people's lives. And I'm like, that's awesome. So now maybe people can kind of transpose or understand that, you know, but I mean, I've been on antiretrovirals since I was first diagnosed, and I'm pretty sure that's what kept me safe from COVID.
Oh yeah, that.
Because I'm already like, it's like, you know, almost everybody I know who is either pause or on prep full time. Mm-hmm. Like nobody that I know got sick with it. That was already actively taking antiretroviral. So oh, it's wow. Like you are definitely way safer with me, and I'm fully vaccinated. So.
Yes, we got the vax. We talked about doing this episode before, and you wanted to talk about being HIV positive, which is why we have the pseudonym.
Yeah. Which is why we have the pseudonym. Deandra.
Deandra. I love
Deandra.
It.
Deandra.
we came up with that. You came up with that, like, the moment we started this episode. So I love.
Well, it's from, I don't know if you've ever seen the YouTube show, The Most Popular Girls in High School.
No.
But if you haven't, look it up. It is the most hysterical fucking stop motion. Like it's a riot. And Deandra is one of the characters. She's like, I'm Deandra. I'm new.
So I'm just, good.
Deandra, what the fuck do you want? I want to poop here as much as I want for as long as I want.
Oh my God. I love it.
it's right. Fucking stupid. It's hilarious.
I'm looking it up and I'm linking it in the show notes.
Yeah. It's great.
But why don't you tell us a little bit of, like, what sort of stigma you've experienced being HIV positive, both in and out of the industry, just so people have an understanding.
In the industry, I actually shot with Groovy. I did my first solo shoot with them, and they were really interested in, you know, keeping me on as a model and having me do partnered shoots or whatever. And then, you know, when I got that paperwork, it explicitly said, you know, that you cannot be HIV positive. And I'm like, well, that's fucking bullshit. And I contacted the owner of the company and I was like, look, you know, if a scene partner chooses, and most sex workers and people in porn know the fucking tea, you know, so they're like, they get it. They're like, no, it's fine. It's not even a problem. You know, don't even worry about it. And he was like, yeah, I don't know. I'd have to talk to my lawyer team, da 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 da. And then he just never got back to me. So, you know, I've pretty much been blocked out of studio porn, which sucks because I think I'm very attractive in terms of, I've seen some of the people in porn. I'm just saying, like, you know, I ain't the best, but shit, girl, I can run circles around some of these bitches. And, you know, I got a big old dick. So that I'm keeping, I love it. There's no problems with that. So, you know, that has been a block getting into that industry. But it's something that's slowly opening up a lot more. So now I just produce my own partnered scenes with people. And so that's good. I've definitely had like clients find out about my status, you know, somehow. And, you know, or I let it out from under my hat and they get a little nervous. And then I just send them, you know, some articles on the facts. And they're like, oh, it's, and. I mean, not all, most of the ones that have found out have been like, I know the science. I'm not worried. Like literally not worried. And I think that speaks to who I am as a provider. You know, I tend to create very long-term clients.
Yeah.
Per my personality and per my service, you know, it's like, I'm not just a blowjob machine.
Yeah. Well, and you're incredibly charismatic and easy to talk to. So I only imagine that you'd have long-term clients.
Oh yeah. I get them disarmed immediately. You know, I'm like, as soon as they get in, I'm like, don't, you know, I'm like, well, I mean, my dick's about to be in your mouth. So really we should just like chill out and be cool. You know, it's not going to be a nerve-wracking thing because that just makes it awkward.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. For our listeners who don't know the science, would you go into this, like, what are the risks involved for someone?
Okay, it is by the World Health Organization and the CDC have released statements saying that if you are HIV positive undetectable, which means that your viral load is so low in your body that it can't even be tested by blood tests, antibody tests, nothing. It's basically inert. And they've come out with a statement saying it is literally impossible to pass it on. Not there's a small chance, there's always a chance. It's literally impossible to pass it on if you're undetectable. I am undetectable. And because, you know, people like me who are HIV positive tend to really, you know, keep an eye on our health. You know, I think that in the long run, we make better partners because we're very in touch with consent and, you know, and understanding, you know, different situations with people and comfort and discomfort. And like, you know, we just tend to be very understanding lovers because we've had to be, because we've been traumatized by the medical system and by people who don't understand the science, you know, treating me like I had a guy on Grindr message me recently and he's like, word around the campfire is your pause. And I'm like, and it's not a fucking secret. Like, especially on the hookup app, I'm not working off of Grindr. That is strictly a pleasure app for me. Mm-hmm. And it's not even that good. So I'm like he said that, like he's word around the campfire. I'm like, it's not a fucking secret. So what do you think you know? You think you're calling me out on something? I don't fucking think so. You don't treat people like that. That's shitty. Yeah. And meanwhile, sir, you know, you've probably got HPV and fucking herpes, like, because one in three people fucking has that. You're out there fucking people you don't even know. You don't know their history. So, you know, don't do that. Don't be that girl.
Yeah. STIs are so common, especially,
and they're trivial.
Yeah,
like I don't understand why people are so afraid. Like, you know, this little trans girl, she's like 20, and you know, she's like, I tend to be like, I like to refer to myself as an owl, an old wise lesbian.
Yes,
you know, and I sit on the eggs and I hatch the eggs. You know, keep them warm, protect the kids. You know, that's I'm very maternal in the way that I care for people. So, anyways, a little friend of mine, she's kind of like, you know, she's like my baby Trian, little friend. And she's 20 and she's like, oh God, I got gonorrhea. And I just feel like absolute shit about myself. I'm like, girl, it's a shot and two pills. Like, don't even worry about it. Well, what does that say about me? I'm like, it says that you're literally like everyone else.
Yep.
That it says that your body is susceptible to bacterial infection. And that's all it says.
Yeah, there's, you know, so much shame we put on contracting an STI. Like, it's like, it says something about your character, and it does.
Like staying virginal or whatever. Like, exactly. You know, it really comes right down to being rooted directly to misogyny and the standards that are placed on everyone, but largely, especially women.
Yes.
You know, and trans people are kind of already seen as like a, you know, a dirty secret as it is. So I can understand why she felt that way. But I was like, girl, literally tell someone you had gonorrhea. They're not going to give a fuck. They're going to be like, do you still have it? Cool.
Exactly.
Like, as long as it's good, as long as you're good, like the girl, they're still going to fuck you. Mm-hmm. Like they're still gonna, because if that's on the table, it's going to happen. Which, by the way, just so the listeners know, she's 20. I do not sleep with her. I do not sleep with anyone under 25. It is just a personal rule, mostly because young people are stupid. I was one and I know. And I just, there's just way too much baggage and bullshit that comes along with that, that I don't feel like dealing with. And I mean, there's baggage in every age group, but I'd rather date older. But then again, I don't really date. My ex was my first partnership relationship in half a decade, and that fucking went down in flames. So
yeah.
Kind of shot that dating horse right in the face for me. I'm just over it.
Yeah, I just started dating and it's been 4 years, so I'm right there with you. Yeah, it takes some time to find.
I consider myself my primary partner, anyways. So it's like I'm already in a, like, there's already so much going on here between me and my eight personalities that adding another human into that is not really, you know. Yes. Well, speaking of, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, that's how it should be. Like, you should be your primary partner.
Right.
Yeah. And look how lucky you are. Oh my God.
And I, right. Thank you. That's so sweet. I also, speaking of the whole personalities thing, I understand why some workers and providers completely have a, you know, fake persona for their work life. It is so irritating to me, and I don't really understand. I understand why people do it, but I don't understand why it's so irritating to me. But it is. Like, if I'm doing a duo or a double with a friend and all of a sudden they just change, and I'm like, you should just see my face, like when they just, oh hi, and I'm just like, bitch, that is not how you talk. Like, that is not how you talk at all. Fuck you. Because this is, I mean, this is me, like, with my clients. I don't change my voice. I think that's absolutely ridiculous that that's such an expectation on trans women is to, like, change your voice. I'm like, no, I got a good old, like, tranny voice with a little raspy Joan Rivers-ness going on. I'm fine with that.
Little
whiskey rasp.
Yes.
But I'm never going to be that girl that's like, oh, hi, I'm Deandra. Like, no. Because also, that reads fake as fuck. Like, these clients, the reason I've noticed a correlation of providers that I know that do put on a fake persona do not create many long-term clients. Because at the end of the day, people want a connection to who you really are.
Yes.
You know, even if it's something that is paid for or whatever, they just, you know, people can smell fake and they don't like it. No one likes it. Because then that's also going to play in their head being like, well, is she actually enjoying herself, or is this just part of this whole shenaniganery? And I'm not into that. I'm not into that. Sorry if you do that. Don't. I promise it'll help your business to not do that.
Yeah, to each their own. But I agree. Personally,
each their own. Yeah.
The longer I've been in this business, the more I've been myself with clients, and it just makes it less exhausting. You know, it's just
less exhausting.
It's so hard to keep up a personality when instead you could just show up honestly and have a good time. And if not, then like, don't see that client again. But
I'm a naturally funny person. I'm a very humorous person. I just don't really, you know, and I'm like, that is my fucking golden ticket. Do you have any idea how far my personality has gotten me in social situations and sex work situations? Like, people just like genuineness. People love to laugh. Make your fucking clients laugh. Make them feel welcome. Make them feel jovial.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Before we totally leave from the HIV positive thing.
Right.
What is something that you wish people, like the greater public, would understand about people who are HIV positive?
Well, I wish people you can Google untransmittable or undetectable equals untransmittable, and that will bring you to so many fucking sites. You know, that's a campaign that's currently in a lot more progressive states, you know, and that it's a thing that isn't just among gay people or trans people. It is literally everywhere. Actually, the predominant demographic being affected by it right now is African American women between the ages of 19 and 26. Oh, that is the predominant, and that has largely to do, I think, with stigma and shame, and also, you know, how Black men especially are kind of held up to these standards of masculinity, and, you know, like the ultimate taboo is kind of Black male homosexuality or queerness. And so it's like, you know, I think a lot of these men have to go out of their way to hide things. And then if they're hiding things, they're probably not being very safe, because that's largely who, you know, Black women are getting it from is bisexual men and bisexual African-American men. And this is not a racist thing that I'm saying. This is just the demographics currently in this country anyways.
Right.
And also because, you know, marginalized communities tend to have less access to thorough and comprehensive medical care. And it's like, it's poverty, it's racism, it's all the reasons that is happening. And that's not, you know, that's not me just throwing words out there and saying things, because I've had people kind of take that the wrong way. And I'm like, it's not a judgment, you know?
Right. That's just the information. And it does, it's like the stigma is there, you know, the stigma and the toxic masculinity around like not, you know, not appearing gay at all.
Which is a thing among, I mean, all men, really. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So you are. You are also a performer. Performer.
Yes.
So how did you get started doing drag?
Well, trans people do drag. I actually got started when I was 17, and I was living in Kentucky, of all places.
Oh, wow.
And Bowling Green, Kentucky. and back then too, it was half the size it is now, because it's kind of like a suburb of Nashville. It's like an hour north of Nashville. So but back then it was, you know, a lot smaller. This was 13 years ago. So, God, that's okay. but I started doing it with them, and then, you know, I kind of, it was a really great outlet for my femininity, because I've always been very feminine. I always wore, you know, face makeup and long hair and all that shit. And I just, it really should have occurred to me a lot sooner in my life that I was trans, but I just was always myself, and I knew I wanted to be a girl, but I just didn't really understand what that was. And just kind of, you know, I didn't really understand until I got into college at about 17. And then yeah. I was doing drag, and then I never wanted to get out of the drag. And I was like, oh, okay, so this is a thing, mm-hmm. you know. But then I ended up not really transitioning until quite a few years later, because I mostly only knew, you know, hetero-identified trans women. And they were very toxic to me in the way that they were like, well, you know, you have a lot of facial hair, you shouldn't transition. Or you know, mm-hmm. If you're not going to be with men, what's the point? Because I got really pigeonholed, you know, by the gay community trying to tell me, oh, you're a gay boy, you're a gay boy, you're a gay boy. And even when I identified as a gay male, whatever the fuck that is, I still was fucking anybody and everybody that I wanted to, who also wanted to, you know, and I would date other trans people, and I would date women, and I would date men. And I, you know, it just depends on the connection for me. It's always been that way. So it's never been an accurate description, but it was something that was really forced on me. Mm-hmm. And I think just that toxicity of that. And then also, you know, being told, well, if you're going to do this, then, you know, your body isn't going to develop the way you want it to. You're going to have to get these silicone injections, black market bullshit. And I was like, I don't want any of that fucking shit. Don't tell me what I need to do. So then finally around 25, I was like, well, fuck it. You know, yeah. I'm HIV positive. That's already the fucking thing nobody wants. What the fuck? I'm just going to live my life. I don't really give a fuck. And it's mm-hmm. been monumentally better since then. But I've been a drag performer since 17. I love to perform. I think it's just a really fun way to connect with people. And I really, it's a very self-serving thing that I do. You know, I'm like, I love to provide a good time, and I love to, you know, you can tell when I'm on stage, I am having an absolute fucking blast, which makes the people there have an absolute fucking blast. Cause there's just nothing worse than a haughty, stuck up ass drag queen. And you're like, mm-hmm. sir, you need to calm the fuck down. Like, you are not Beyonce. You are literally lip syncing to a song, facilitating the sales of alcohol. Let's put this in perspective. Yes. You know, and not all the drag performers are sirs outside of drag. You know, there's a lot of gender variance within drag. And so, you know, but predominantly it is gay men.
Right. Well, and arguably we all do drag, because gender is just a performance. But
yeah, gender is performative.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and I also think that that plays into what we were talking about earlier, where it's like, you have to show up authentically on the stage and like have fun, just like show up and have fun in your sessions with clients, in order to like have fun and be entertaining and be with a person, you know, like,
well, you know, there's this moment I hit on stage when I'm doing a song that I really love, and you know, that I'm excited to be doing, and like I can't help but just like smile like a fucking idiot, just grinning throughout the whole thing. And you know, you can really, and I feel it, like, and I feel that I'm projecting that joy and that energy. And people always tell me, you know, I'm like, I'm not the best performer, I'm not a great dancer, da 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 da, but people fucking love me, because you know, they're like, girl, I can tell you're having a blast, and you are sharing that, and that's great. And that, you know, I love that. And that's the same thing with sex work. I'm like, you know, if these men are coming to see me, I'm going to make it a memorable time. I'm going to make them, one, just strictly for retention purposes.
Right.
But also because that's, if I'm enjoying myself and I'm, you know, and facilitating that experience for this person, then I want it to be a good experience for both of us. And the only way to do that is to be very genuine about, you know, your boundaries and stuff, but also just very candid and, you know, be nice. Be fucking nice to your clients. Like, Jesus Christ. Unless they are specifically into like domination or humiliation, something of that form, from the door opening till they leave. Sometimes that happens, but I find it's very rare, because part of aftercare is being nice and sweet and caring and letting these people know that, yeah, you were my sub slut fucking maggot piece of shit 20 minutes ago, but we're cool, and you're a very nice human being. Pet on the head, you know.
Yeah, it's so key. It's so important. Okay, so back to performing. What is your favorite part of performing?
I like to make the costumes. I make all my own costumes.
Do
and I'm
you really?
Very good at it. Yes, I do. And I'm very good at it. I make really great things. And it's just, I spend more money on it than I will ever make from it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, again, it's something I do that is very self-serving. It's something that I do purely for my enjoyment. If there was not a single person in the audience, I would still do it.
Yes.
You know, if they didn't feel the song, I didn't get tipped dollar. I don't give a fuck. I've already spent the money on the look and the wig and the everything. Yeah, I just, that's never happened to me where I've ever had a problem. Cause I mean, I also am just, you've met me in person, you know, I'm like, I'm pretty outgoing and people like that, you know, and yeah. I'm, you know, my drag persona is very ridiculous anyways. Like I'm just there to have a good time and I'm there to make you have a good time. We're just going to throw all the pretense to the wind, you know, as what that guy says in fucking Steel Magnolias, an ounce of pretension is worth a pound of manure.
Oh my God, you do that accent so well.
I lived in Louisiana. I do a lot of accents, actually.
You don't say.
Yeah.
I feel like I've experienced a few of these.
Hello, my friend. My friend, how are you doing today? So good to be speaking with you on the podcast.
I recall a Russian accent, perhaps.
Yeah, that was kind of it. It's going a little Swedish these days. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm feeling
she changes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's worldly.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I just make up voices cuz I'm weird. I just make up voices all the time because I just do. It's just something I've always done. I don't know.
Yeah. This is why we
Yeah. I mean, I thoroughly enjoy being a weirdo. I think I'm very lucky. In the sense that even though a lot of my family was very aware that I was weird and would tell me, and people in my life and school and society would always tell me, girl, you are so fucking weird. Why are you like this? Why can't you just be normal? And it's just, that has just never bothered me. I guess I was born without that cell because as much as the world and my life has tried to hammer it into my head that I should have some sort of shame or try to fit in, that's just never been a part of who I am. I've been very fortunate that I didn't have that because I know some people are not able to not form complexes about that sort of thing,
right?
Not fitting in or not being quote unquote normal. Like, fuck that. Look where, you know, my mom asked me the other day, she was like, she's like, so you're like 30, you got a house now. Are you like finally turning normal? And I was like, no,
fuck
no, me. I'm not. No. And she's like, why? I'm like, look what normal fucking got us. Look what normal has gotten us in this fucking world. Fuck that.
Yes.
We got a genocidal madman and murderous fucking cops just running around all willy nilly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have no comprehensive medical anything. All of our fucking money and budget goes to killing other people in mm-hmm. other countries and just basically being world fucking terrorists. Like, look what normal has gotten us. Fuck you, normal. I don't
exactly.
want that.
Yeah.
I don't. And that's how I feel about the pandemic too. It's like, oh, I want things to go back to normal. I'm like, I don't. Mm-mm. I want accessibility to activities that I enjoy. That aspect I would like to come back, but I don't want it to be normal because look what the fuck normal has gotten us. It's yes. We live in a very sick society. I don't want things to go back to normal. I don't like that word.
No, me either. That actually is a perfect transition to the next question I have for you, which is
I'm very good at transitioning.
How have you channeled your like vivacious personality, your very social being and performing energy during the pandemic? Like what have you been doing?
Well, I just post a lot of shit on Instagram. and also like I said, it's something I do for myself. So like I straight up just entertain myself in my living room and I'll have a couple drinks, put on some music. I'm not getting into the full geesh, but absolutely performing for the fucking walls, you know?
Yeah.
Or for my dog.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, I don't know. But ways I've been channeling it, I mean, it's also a creative outlet for me. So I've been channeling a lot of, during the pandemic when things especially weren't accessible, I did a couple of online shows, not nearly the same. I don't really enjoy that. Mm-hmm. I like to feel, I like the energy exchange of a live show, but, same. You know, I've been working on my house a lot. And so I've kind of been channeling my creativity into making this house the home that I want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, the eccentric little pocket of earth that I get to have in this life. So
I love that. And then how did the pandemic change how you engage in sex work over the last year?
Well, I didn't get the unemployment in the beginning, the mm-hmm. pandemic unemployment. I didn't get that until almost August. So that entire time, and you know, OnlyFans got flooded by a bunch of people that probably shouldn't be on OnlyFans. Let's just be serious, like thinking it's an easy thing and it's not.
Yeah.
You know, but it did get flooded. So I had to keep seeing people. So nothing really, really changed for me, especially because I didn't know at the time, but my partner, who was barely, you know, working at all, I had to cover her ass so much. And it turns out, you know, she had like a family trust fund that she could have dipped into at any point and help keep me safe from this pandemic, but she just didn't see it fit to be honest about that. The entire time we were together, she basically lied about her life. You know, I was like,
yep.
Fuck this shit. You're not even who I thought you were. And you could have just been honest and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
I don't have any qualms about people having wealth or access to familial wealth. However, I do expect, especially if you're a white person with access to familial wealth, I do expect redistribution and stuff. And that's just not something that she was ever going to do. You know, she's just a money hoarder. And I don't agree with that at all. I don't understand that kind of lifestyle. Fuck, if you know, when it comes to anybody, especially I care about, you know, bitch, if I only got $50 to my name, we got $50. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just how I've always been, because money doesn't, it comes, it goes. It doesn't actually mean a lot to me. And I've never really had a lot of it in my life anyways. And, you know, it used to stress me out. I used to have the worst kind of panic attacks and anxiety around money. And then, you know, around 25, getting on hormone therapy really helped curb that anxiety right out of my life. It really fixed a lot of it. I think testosterone was like feeding my mania or something. But like, now that that's changed, you know, I'm a lot more even keel and I just don't give a fuck. I had to give that up. I'm like, you know, I'm a trans sex worker. I was broke before. I'm gonna be broke again. It's gonna happen. I'm not gonna fucking stress about it. I'll be okay. You know,
yeah, I think that's an incredible place to be. The fear of financial insecurity is so, I feel like, I mean, it's, we live in a capitalist society. We're taught to be afraid of being poor.
We are living in a capitalist society full of manufactured scarcity. We are, yes. That is, they purposely traumatize us with that.
Yes.
Okay. So that was one of the most liberating things I could ever do. And at 25, I ended up moving into an off-grid community where I never needed money. Mm-hmm. And I spent a year there living in a tent, you know, and it was amazing. And that really kicked whatever last that I had, because I was like, wait, there's fresh water just coming out of the ground here. And it's crystalline, fucking beautiful spring water that I get to bathe in and nourish my body with. And it's yes. living and it's beautiful. And there's food just coming out of the fucking ground because we garden. And I don't actually have any, you know, we have solar for the things that I need. And yeah, I would go into the city and occasionally work, but you know, that money, I mean, $50 would last me a fucking month, you know, in terms right. of what I need in cigarettes. And I love a cocktail. Let's be frank about that.
And I love that you touch on the fact that it's a trauma response that we have to like financial insecurity. Cause I find that it's been such an important journey for me personally to recognize that like I have these trauma responses and that I need to ground before I can really make a rational decision moving forward around money in particular.
When you stop letting money have so much control over you, it's kind of amazing how much easier it is to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I don't, my bank account gets down under 1,000. I consider that broke because I've got insurance. So that money's already spoken for, you know, right. like I've got bills, but mm-hmm. you know, there's been times where I'm like, okay, well the bill's going to be late. And once you can get in that mindset that fucking due date literally just is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You can usually just pay a fee pay the fucking fee when you have the money. Don't worry about it. Like, don't let yourself stress. Like, you know, people really get very stressed out. And I'm like, yeah, if you're 8 months behind and you're about to be turned off, it's time to stress about that, girl. Let's be real. But, you know, if you can let yourself be okay with like, oh, this electric bill is going to be late. Well, you've been on time, you know, for as long as you've had the account. Don't fucking worry about it. Don't pay it right now. Pay half of it. Pay a little, what you can, whatever. Work out a deal with the company. Whatever you got to do to keep yourself out of that. Well, the date has come and gone and now I'm like panicking. And that is such a thing that I see people experience, and it destroys relationships and friendships, makes roommate situations unbearable.
Yes.
You know, and every bad roommate situation I've ever had a huge financial component to it. Yep. Where either the person who's on the lease and on all the utility bills can't handle that stress. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I would be the perfect person to have on a lease and a utility bill. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, you owe, this is your portion. Oh, you can't pay it right now? Okay, cool. Well, either if I have it, I'll cover it, or, you know, whatever. I just don't worry about things like that. It took a very long time to deprogram from that. But I think it's one of the most important things. And almost all the sex workers I know who are full service have this kind of relationship with money now.
Yeah.
Where it's not this thing that, because, you know, when this is your breadwinning game, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many other things that are stressful and exhausting about it, that money is not really the thing that you want to get. You're not going to get as bent out of shape over it.
Yeah. I think too, any gig worker or like entrepreneur who has a business like that, where you're going from event to event, once you've done a year or two of that, you begin to have that relationship with money where
you're like, sometimes it's not going to be there. It's an ebb and flow situation. Sometimes, yeah. You know, sometimes you'll be rolling in it.
Yes. And just because I don't have anything on the books right now doesn't mean there won't be something on the books soon.
Right. I mean, I don't have anything on the books right now, and I'm just not, I'm not worried about it.
No, you can't. It's not worth it.
I mean, you know, I've got money, and my OnlyFans I treat like a savings account.
Same.
I don't pull money out of there unless I absolutely have to. Mm-hmm. And I haven't pulled any money out of there in almost 6 months. So it's just sitting there, you know, and I got investment in like Dogecoin and some other things like that, you know?
Yeah.
So I definitely think put your money to work for you if you can in some way, you know. Even a certificate of deposit, simplest form of investing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's just building interest on what you're, it's a high interest yield account, basically, you know, and it's like, as you get older, you got to really, you know, you start to, you hit 30 and you're like, oh, it's more than just bringing money in. I've actually got to put my money to work for me when I'm not working.
Yes.
You know, and I don't think I'm ever going to be able to go back to working for someone else. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to do it.
Oh, I don't know if I could either.
Yeah. I mean, I think eventually I do plan to retire or semi-retire from sex work. Mm-hmm. And I think the two fields that I'm looking at right now, well, there's three that are kind of in the lineup, either nursing, which would be cool, or undertaking. I would love to be in mortuary sciences. I used to do, when I was a cosmetologist, which I'm still a licensed cosmetologist, when I was working full time, I actually owned a business in Nashville where I would go in as a contractor and rebuild people's faces and do the hair and makeup for the funerals. And it just never bothered me, except when they fucking move. Cause sometimes they just sit right up or they move. If they're freshly dead, it takes actually 14 hours or more for your nervous system to fully die. So, you know, they twitch and they burp and they fart. And sometimes they'll release gas over the vocal cords. So you'll hear, and you're like, oh no! No, 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 no! I am here alone. It is late at night. No, you better stay the fuck there.
You shut the fuck up, Roger. You shut the fuck up. Oh my god, that's terrifying.
But that doesn't bother. And I think we need queer and trans people in that business specifically, because so many people their autonomy of how they represented themselves gets taken away because their family has control. or the funeral director doesn't know how to style them properly according to their gender identity or how they live, you know, they're very binary type system. And it's, I think that's very tragic. I've had a few friends who've passed who, you know, their families put them in a, shave their head and put them in a fucking suit posthumous. And I'm like, that's fucked up. That's fucked up. One of my friend's families had her breast implants removed for the funeral. And I was like, that is fucked up. And I told her mom that too. I was like, you are fucked up for that. You are fucked up for that. Awesome. She's like, I don't even know why you're here. You were told not to come. And I was like, I'm gonna say goodbye to my bitch is why the fuck I'm here, honey. Mm. So don't start with me. Think I won't fucking knock you out at this funeral, at your own child's funeral. I fucking will, because you obviously don't care that much. Which, in hindsight, was probably very harsh. But the bitch needed to hear it. Like, fucking, my friend's dead name is Rogers. Fucking had him in a goddamn suit.
Oh my
God. You know, and it's not him, it's her. Her name is Christina.
Yeah.
Like, she is not that, okay? She's not that. So that is one of the reasons I really want to get into that. Or also because I do a lot of like self-cosmetic work. I do, you know, my own PRP injections in my face and scalp, you know, build collagen, fillers. Mm-hmm. PRP is a natural filler, platelet-rich plasma. So I thought maybe that is something I could get into, be, you know, like a filler tech or, you know, and laser tech and something like that. That way I could offer low prices to other girls who are transitioning to, you know, to help facilitate that process, because it's such a ridiculous markup that these places charge, and they don't treat trans people very kindly at all. You know, ideal image. I mean, I walked in, no makeup, whatever, but clearly tits. It was Louisiana. It's 103 degrees out. I'm wearing like a little tiny spaghetti strap. Boobs are out. Tiny little shorts. I look like a chick.
Yes.
I look like a woman because I am one. And, you know, she goes, okay, well, here you are, sir. And I was like, I did not just pay $600 in advance for treatments to be misgendered. You will get me correct. And then the receptionist did it two more times while I was there that day. Girl, I went home with $400 worth of free obagi, because I was heated. I fucking came for them. And that owner was like, we're going to give you this collection of obagi as an apology. And I'm like, fuck yeah, this shit's expensive. It wasn't $400 worth of obagi. It was like $100. It was like a cream, a toner, whatever. But it's really good shit. And I've since used it. But I was like, you're not gonna fuck with me like that. I'm sorry. I refuse to accept that.
No, and you know? Shouldn't have to. Uh-uh.
Right. Where are we going with this?
Well, we're going to my final question before we launch into the rapid fire, which is, since you have a pseudonym today, is there anything that you would like to say on air that you wouldn't normally get to?
Well, pseudonym or not, I just would like to say, sex work is real work. It is not for everybody. Never assume it's easy. It is not. It is something that you really should not get into unless you have a very solid grasp of who and what you are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not something that's quick money. It's not something that is really, it's not a career that can be built on an unstable foundation.
Mm. Yes. Oh my God. Say that again.
It is not a career that can be built on an unstable foundation. You really have to know yourself and your worth. I'm not a person that encourages everybody to do it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. We're going to launch
rapid fire
into the rapid fire.
Pew, 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 pew.
Okay. So some of these I've tailored to, or a couple of these I've tailored to you.
Oh, tailoring.
Are you prepared?
I'm good. Let's go.
All right. Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Salty or sweet?
Salty.
Next gen or Deep Space Nine?
Next gen.
Yes, 100%. Thank you. Favorite place?
I mean, you can see my tattoo.
I know. So there's the what do you even call those? The...
Oh, that's the Star Trek com badge. It's called a Delta. The shape is a Delta. Yeah.
Yes.
But it's a com badge.
That's beautiful.
Deandra to Bridge.
Yeah. I love that so much. Favorite place you've ever been?
Japan.
Oh, when did you go to Japan?
I lived there for a year when I was a teenager.
Deandra, she's well traveled.
Yeah, something like that.
A book from your mandatory reading list?
The Neverending Story. lot of people don't even know it's a book, and I highly recommend it. It is a very good book.
It's better than the movie.
The movie's like maybe the first three chapters. Michael Endy is the author, and the nothing is basically the personification of death and experiencing the nothing. It gets so close to actually putting into words what being dead, the experience of it would actually be like. And it's a really amazing book. I don't understand how it's a kid's book. It is a kid's book, but it's existential and philosophical as fuck. It's a great read. Highly recommend.
Love that.
All right.
Complete this sentence for me. Good sex is.
Good sex is mutual and consensual.
Excellent. What is your secret talent?
I don't know if there's a secret one. I'm pretty on my sleeve. I don't really have secrets about things. You know, I tend to be, if anybody asks me something, I tend to just be very out the gate honest. I think it's the best way. But secret talent, I like to sew.
Yeah.
It's not really secret though. But
I didn't know that about you. So that counts.
Yeah. I love to sew. I'm actually going to be making all the curtains and everything for my house. Will you stop growling, sir? What are you doing?
Jean-Luc.
He's like, I'm getting in on this fucking podcast. My dog's name is Jean-Luc, the next gen, of course.
Yes.
His full name is Jean-Luc Picard of the Starship Enterprise Warp 9 Engage.
Oh my God.
Which, if anybody knows me, then giving away my dog's name totally gave away my identity. But if they know my dog's name, then they're cool.
Yeah.
Like, they know me well enough to know that what's being said here is not secret.
Right. Absolutely. Also, I've been watching so much Star Trek, I feel like we should just have a watch party at some point.
Oh, God, yes. And we should... Have you seen Discovery yet?
I have not seen Discovery yet.
Oh, we could do a Discovery binge or a Picard binge. If you haven't seen Star Trek Picard, it is the tits. So.
Okay, what is a song, an artist, an album that you're currently obsessed with?
Song, artist, album?
Yeah.
Do they all have to be the same person?
No, you don't have to do either any of them. You just like one of them.
Okay, song, Montero, Little Nas X.
Oh.
Montero is fucking great. Mm-hmm. That is, it's so good. I love that. I love the imagery. It's a sexy song, and it's a very good song. I'm like, Lil Nas X, come on, sophomore class. I'm into it. So, that's a song I'm currently obsessed with. Also the classic Cher album. That's like her greatest hits from the 80s.
I was gonna say, good. If you don't say Cher, I'm gonna come
girl, and yeah, an artist I'm obsessed with, an artist I'm obsessed with and will always be obsessed with is Cher. I have her name tattooed on my fucking hand. Cher. I've been to every live concert since I was 8 years old at the Believe Tour. I am a dyed in the wool Cher fucking fan.
I love it so much.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't know why I don't know why that didn't pop into my head first. I don't know.
Cause it's whatever. Just
go ahead. Head. Rapid fire.
If you had a superpower, what would it be?
Telekinesis.
Oh, so good. And then what is something simple that brings you joy?
I love to garden. Mm-hmm. And when my seeds and everything, seedlings start coming up. Like right now I have an entire table in my dining room just covered in like little seed starters. And when they start popping up, I start singing to them and
oh.
I water them and I'm happy that they're there. And I'm like, hey kids.
The babes.
The babes. Hi, you're so cute. Keep coming. Keep coming. Yeah, no, that's simple. And it provides me a lot of joy.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. Well, that is the end of our rapid fire. And that brings us to the end of our interview. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Deandra, it's been wonderful.
Deandra. Okay. Yeah. In the future, once I've sort of come out in my sex work life, I would love to do a follow-up. It is on the way. The coming out as a pause performer and provider, because I just don't care to keep it a secret anymore.
Yeah.
So when I'm ready for that, I'll let you know.
Please do. I'd love to have you on again. We can just kiki some more.
All right. Well, let me know about that Star Trek binge.
100%. All right. I love you so much.
All right. Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
What a sweet little ending to that interview. There's so much in this interview, and I'm really, like, there's a part of me that's just a little bitter that I can't link Deandra's stuff, like, their work accounts to this, because they are really fun to follow, and they create some really fantastic content, and it's really unfortunate that the stigma around this particular issue is so potent, I guess is the word, that that we have to hide her identity at this point. But like she said, at some point she'll come back on when she's ready to reveal all these things, and then I just get to post all of the links. So stay tuned for that. But it just goes to show you, like, stigma and shaming people and judging people for things that we don't fully understand is just a terrible way to build a society. It's a terrible way to interact with people. Listening, learning, understanding where people are coming from, that's where we actually make progress. Wow, turns out listening is the answer, right? So thank you for listening. I'm so grateful you're here. One more time, you can find us at patreon.com/sexygalaxypod. We also have a temporary website before I get one up that's got a whole bunch of other links, but it's through captivate.fm, which is the website that hosts this podcast. They've done a great job so far. So if you're looking for a site to host your very own podcast, consider captivate.fm. They didn't pay me to say that, but I really like them. And now the time has come for a space fact. If you're being chased by an adversary in space, it would behoove you to remember that space is a vacuum. And you can't hear anything in a vacuum, so no one can hear you scream. So save your breath. Keep running. Nanu nanu, motherfuckers. Yeah.